Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. This is the reading of God's word. After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethphage and Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord has need of it." They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace and heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. We thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word, so that we may truly hear, that our faith will grow, and we will live that holy life that you have called us to live. Through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. O Father, let us rejoice and give you all the glory, honor, and power. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, in the book of Luke, we're looking at our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. His life itself is witnessing the reality of that kingdom being accomplished, because the kingdom of God is being accomplished by his sufferings and his death and his resurrection from the dead. Verse 28. After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As you know, he goes to Jerusalem, and he goes there to die, to pay for the sins of his people. And in our passage today, we see him arriving at Jerusalem. He enters the city of Jerusalem on a colt. Usually, this event is called the triumphal entry. This happens on the Lord's Day, a day after the Old Testament Sabbath day. This Lord's Day is also called the Palm Sunday. And it is the beginning of the Passion Week. And this day was the Lord's Day, and just in 5 days now, which is Friday, Jesus will be crucified. And 3 days later, on the following Lord's Day, he will be resurrected from the dead. Now, we must understand clearly what Jesus is doing, especially during the last week of his life, before his resurrection. Jesus came to accomplish the kingdom of God and inaugurates it and sits on the throne to rule it forever. Now from this Lord's Day, within a week, all that will be accomplished. Of course, for the visible consummation, we need to wait until his second coming. After his death on the cross, he will resurrect from the dead, and he will ascend to the kingdom of God, heaven. And the myriads of angels and the citizens of the kingdom of God will welcome him as their king, and he will rule them forever. Can you just picture that? Truly a glorious reality. He is triumphant over sin. He is triumphant over Satan. And he is triumphant over this world. He is victorious. And he is crowned as the king of the kingdom of God. And we saw this reality even in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 7 verse 13 through 14. I kept looking in the night visions. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Jesus will triumphantly enter the heavenly Jerusalem and be inaugurated as the king to rule the kingdom of God forever. But I want all of you to see through the rest of the book of Luke, see how that glorious reality of heaven that we just talked about, how that glorious reality of heaven is witnessed in this world. Just as the name of the king is inscribed on his throne, his cross, Jesus' cross, had the inscription, the King of the Jews. The reality of sitting at his glorious throne in heaven is witnessed here on earth by him being crucified on the cross. We must understand our passage, the entering the earthly Jerusalem, in this way. In our passage, we are looking at the reality of entering the heavenly Jerusalem and how it is witnessed here on earth. So verse 29, when he approached Bethphage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples. So Jesus comes near the Mount Olivet, the Mount of Olives, Olive. So he is coming into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is located on the east side of Jerusalem. Thus, Jesus is on the east side of the temple. And we read many, many verses in Old Testament. Let me read you one. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 2, 4, and 5. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was coming from the way of the east. And his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up. And brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. That is happening in our passage. Our Lord Jesus Christ, glorious God, enters Jerusalem from the east, And in verse 45, he goes to the temple, which you will look at it in a few weeks. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4a tells us where the Messiah will appear in the future. It says, in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. Zechariah 14, verse 9, and the Lord will be king over the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. That reality that Old Testament speaks of is being fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ in our passage. Let's go to verse 30 to 34, saying, go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owners said to them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord has need of it. As you could see, Jesus sends two of his disciples to get the colt that he will ride on when he enters Jerusalem. And you find a colt tied on, he said to his disciples. Jesus says, you will find a colt tied on. Well, this reminds us, Genesis 49. There, Jacob is blessing his 12 sons. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10 and 11, Jacob is blessing Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh, meaning Messiah, comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. He ties his foil. To him, he ties his foil to the vine. And his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. That verse says the Messiah will tie his donkey's colt on the vine. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and his seven seals. There, Jesus is called the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. So you put all those things together, Jesus is the Messiah that these verses in the Old Testament were pointing to. And just like in the blessings of Jacob to Judah, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is a king. Now Jesus is entering Jerusalem to die. And it is not because that he was hopeless to do anything about him being captured. And I want you to see in our passage that Jesus is in complete control of all things, even as he will be captured and be crucified on the cross. All are used for God's purpose according to his plan. Colt, on which no one yet has ever sat. Meaning that colt is wholly used for God's purpose. And it is an untamed animal. Can you picture how it will go crazy when someone tries to sit on it? But when God rides it, absolutely no problem. Jesus is the Creator, the King, God who controls all things, and he is all-knowing God. Verse 35 and 36, they brought it to Jesus and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. And he was going there, and they were spreading their coats on the road. John chapter 12 tells us that the people brought with them the palm tree branches to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem. Now, before we understand what is going on here, let us remind ourselves what we read in chapter 19, verse 11. They, meaning disciples and the people, supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Now, these people who are welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, they all think that as Jesus entered, what will happen? The kingdom of God will appear immediately. Now, Jesus is riding a colt of a donkey. And Jesus is entering Jerusalem. Now, think about this. The disciples and the people were thinking of the Old Testament promises of God. As they see Jesus riding on a donkey and he's entering the city of Jerusalem, they think of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It speaks of the Messiah. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It is promised in the Old Testament that the Messiah will ride into Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey. So, can you picture it? They know these verses, and they look at Jesus, and they believe Jesus, the Messiah, and he's riding a donkey, and he's coming into Jerusalem. And they were thinking, when Messiah comes to Jerusalem, the kingdom of God will appear immediately. Can you understand the excitement of these people? These people realize that that time has come. Matthew chapter 21, verse 4 to 5 speaks of the same event. And there we read, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Says to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." And yes, that reality is being fulfilled in our passage. But they are also at the same time wrong in their understanding. Remember that they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately? They thought Jesus is going to establish a worldly kingdom. They thought that Jesus is finally letting the whole world know that he is the Messiah and entering the Jerusalem to establish the earthly kingdom that they were waiting for. They threw their coats on the colt. And they were also spreading their coats on the road, on the ground, as Jesus rode this colt. What are they doing? They are welcoming and receiving Jesus as the king. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13. "Then they hurried, and each man took his garment and placed it under him on the bare steps, and blew the trumpet, saying, Jehu is king." So they understand Because it happened in the Old Testament when king was riding and coming to the city. They threw their coats under the ground and they were welcoming this king. So that is exactly what these people are doing to Jesus. 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 38-40. And had Solomon ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest then took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon." And all the people went up after him, and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth shook at their noise. And that is exactly what is happening in our passage. Everybody is so excited to see Jesus coming into Jerusalem. It is the king's inauguration. This is what the triumphant entry to Jerusalem is all about. But we have to remember that this is his first coming, not his second coming. Yes, spiritually it is all true, but we must understand the plan of God. The visible consummation is later. We are sure that even the disciples were sensing that something is not what they were expecting. Anyhow, they had a great worldly expectation as they welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. Verse 37 and 38, as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Disciples, they believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They are the eyewitnesses of the great things that Jesus has done. So they welcome and receive with joy the King who will establish the kingdom. But like we said before, they still think that the kingdom of God is a worldly kingdom. Verse 38, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This is from Psalm 118, verse 26. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." Just like I said numerous times, Jesus' disciples believe that Jesus is the Messiah who is coming to establish the kingdom of God. Yes, it is true, the triumphant entry that we are looking at. But we know that they are mistaken about the nature of the kingdom of God. John chapter 12, verse 16, "These things his disciples did not understand at the first." Mark chapter 11, verse 10, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David, Hosanna in the highest." So they were singing, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." They were waiting for the most strong kingdom in the world, like the kingdom of David in the Old Testament. The other people there also did not understand. The same people who are praising Jesus in our passage. Later, when they realize that Jesus is not establishing the earthly kingdom of God for them, but captured and about to be crucified. John chapter 19, verse 14-15, "Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.' So they cry out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." The same people who are welcoming Jesus as he is entering Jerusalem, a few days later, they say, "Kill him, crucify him." Because Jesus obviously is not bringing the earthly kingdom that they were waiting for. And there were also the other group. And this group flat out rejected Jesus, and they actually wanted to kill him right there. Verse 39 and 40, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." Now look at our passage. Jesus receives these praises. And if he is not true Messiah, if he is not God, receiving those praises from these people, that is not proper. But Jesus receives them. Jesus is the true Messiah who receives the praises of his people. Now, picture this. Picture our passage. Jesus, yes, he is the Messiah, and he's entering the Jerusalem. And on one side, people who misunderstand Jesus, and yet they are so excited, and they're praising Jesus. But they really don't get what is really happening. That's one side. On the other side, the Pharisees who want to kill him. Humanly speaking, see how alone our Lord Jesus Christ is as he enters Jerusalem. Nobody understands him. All alone, and that is the point. All alone, all by himself, he accomplishes the eternal salvation of his people. Nobody helps him. And he has to do it all by himself. He looks to his Father. And the Father alone. And brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I'm telling you that you and I will be in this kind of situation many times in our lives. Because all you want to do is do what the Bible says. All you want to say is what the Bible says. And yet nobody understands you. You're all alone. Especially these days. If you say the truth that you see in the Bible, they will cancel you. But it's okay. I tell you, learn to enjoy that loneliness. You could do this because that's when you realize you're not alone. Jesus is with you all the time. Enjoy that loneliness. It's okay. Because he will never leave you nor forsake you. And when no one understands you, look to Jesus. He knows. He understands. And that's good enough for me. Now, it is true that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he is accomplishing the kingdom of God, but there is not a hint of the glory of this world. And I'm going to talk about this a lot, but when you picture an inauguration day of earthly king, like, you know, England, inauguration of king, you know how glorious day that is for that king? And here Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is actually accomplishing the kingdom of heaven. And he is. Because as soon as he resurrects from the dead, he goes, he ascends into heaven, and the whole heaven will welcome him, and he will sit at the right hand of God as the king, and he will rule. It is his inauguration. And yet, you will not even find a hint of glory of this world. Jesus actually completely rejects the earthly glory. And in our passage, he humbly enters Jerusalem. And he will soon die on the cross. The world will never understand why would God die for sinners like us. This is something so marvelously wonderful that even the angels are eagerly desiring to look into. The Bible says. Through our passage, it is witnessed that the kingdom of God is not a worldly kingdom. The event of Jesus entering Jerusalem, it is the earthly expression of what happens when Jesus enters the heavenly Jerusalem as the victorious king. Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and he ascends into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God, sat at the throne of heaven, and he reigns now and forever. And when he entered the heavenly Jerusalem, the myriads of angels and his people who were in heaven already welcomed him into his kingdom as the victorious king. And they praised him. They continued to praise him. And at his second coming, he will judge the world and will gather his people, and he will enter the heavenly Jerusalem once again. At that time, myriads of angels and all of his people will praise him, and he will sit at the throne of our throne as our king forever and ever. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, see how that reality is witnessed in this world, in our passage. And in Christ and through Christ, I want you also see your heavenly reality that has been already accomplished. You and I, too, have already spiritually entered the heavenly Jerusalem and seated with Christ in heavenly places and reign with Christ now and forever. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, 5 and 6, even when we're dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Revelation 3 verse 21, he who overcomes, and Bible says, faith, with faith we overcome. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne. Revelation 22 verse 5, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of the lamp, nor the day of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Meaning you are the kings of heaven. You will reign with your Lord and King, Jesus Christ. And through the Bible, see our spiritual reality, our heavenly reality, our salvation reality. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Do you understand what you see in our passage in an earthly form? It points to your heavenly reality when you will gather with all God's people and myriads of angels who will welcome Jesus Christ as He said He sits on that throne and reigns forever and ever. So I want you to understand that you are already an active participant of our Lord Jesus Christ's triumphant entry to heavenly Jerusalem. That is what is true of you in Jesus Christ. Look at us. Bible says you have arrived in heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, spiritually, of course. I mean, physically, we're sitting here. The Bible says that you have arrived in heavenly Jerusalem. And what are we doing? And where is Jesus? He's sitting at His throne. And we are gathering upon Him. And we're praising Him, worshiping Him, our triumphant King. That is what our worship is all about. We already have received Him as our King, now and forever. So rejoice. All that reality will be visible when Jesus returns. So we join John in saying, come, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your love. We thank You for the salvation that You have accomplished for us. Oh, Father, Your word show us all the heavenly realities that is true of us in Jesus Christ already. Let us believe and let us live by faith. Let us witness that reality as much as possible as we live our lives here on earth, to show the world who we truly are in Jesus Christ. We thank You. We love You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.